Have you ever had one of these days? I have them too often with my computer or my phone. I start doing something and it won't work, or something will have changed, or something little and it takes me hours and hours to figure it out, or with my new refurbished phone, something will update and then it's like I'm totally lost and it's frustrating. And then it happens again the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. Sometimes, depending on what the problem is, we just feel like, I quit. I'm done with this. I can't take any more. And that's not an uncommon feeling. And the Bible talks about that. And it's something that I would dare say all of us have felt that way about one thing or another, and God has the answers to it. A few little examples. I've had some one-day jobs when I was younger. When I was a teenager, and somebody would say, hey, you know, here's a good job, you want to do this? And I would do it, and the people weren't right or the company wasn't right, and I said, sorry, but I quit. When I was in my early 20s, I went to work for a company, and the first day there, and again, they had me paired up with somebody else, and I thought, this is a crooked company. I said, no thanks, but I quit. Some of those things, they're easy to get in and easy to get out. Other things, they're more complicated to get in, and then you ask yourself, what do I do? Because I know I can't get out of this. I don't want to get out of this, but I just feel like quitting. Well, when you feel like giving up because of trials that you're suffering, remember righteous Job. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health, and he didn't give up. And in spite of all the unimaginable grief and loss, Job held to his faith. And he held to his faith in God. In Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. And as James wrote in chapter 5 and verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, who have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. See, God has a plan for us, and we don't always know what it is, but notice what James says, and seeing the end intended by the Lord. We just see when we're right in the middle of the fire. We just see when we're right in the middle of the pit, and we don't see the end intended by the Lord. And what kind of Lord do we worship? We worship a very compassionate and merciful God. And just as we read in Romans chapter 5 this morning, when Paul was talking and gave a list of things that we can hope and glory in, and it started in tribulations, and well, why should I hope and glory in tribulations? He went on to explain. But sometimes we just feel like giving up. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a marriage. People feel like giving up. We know a lot of people feel that way because you see the number of divorces. You see them being married. It's not uncommon to talk to people today that have been married 2, 3, 4 more times. They just give up. Some people want to give up on the church. They want to quit the church. They feel like giving up. They feel like quitting, and they quit the church. they quit being a Christian. Friends, we may suffer great trials in this life, yet we must never forget that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. So Paul gives us a contrast. There's the suffering that we go through, and there's the glory that's waiting for us. And no matter what we go through here, if we are faithful, if we are faithful unto death, and this is one of the things sometimes that I admit sometimes I feel like giving up. I wish and I pray to God that He would give me the words to get people to see how serious sin is, how short this life is, that we just can't play church, that we need to focus on those things. We need to seek the kingdom first. Put first things first and everything else will fall into place. We see those trials and things that we go through, but when we are in the middle of that, we've got to remember that if we are faithful, what is waiting for us will far outshadow what we're going through here on this life. And when we take our last breath, if we are faithful, if we have loved God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we have set our heart to do His will, when we take our last breath and we are escorted by the angels into paradise, whatever we were worried about, whatever was a problem here on earth, will be gone. And if we haven't done those things, then again, as we said in class, we face the wrath of God. When you feel like giving up, we need to stay strong. You think about people that we can learn this lesson from that are not in the Bible. The Bible is full of examples. But one of the classic examples outside of the Bible that people use is Thomas Edison. And he said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time." I've heard different numbers, but one that I've heard repeated over and over that he tried 10,000 times to make the incandescent light bulb. 10,000 times and failed. What if he had stopped there? We may still have been waiting for somebody to invent light. And along that line, another quote I heard about him, something I read, that when he failed all of those times and somebody said, "How do you feel having failed 10,000 times in your experiment?" And he said, "I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just found 10,000 ways that aren't going to work." So he had the right attitude. So when we feel like giving up, we've got to remember, don't stop when you're tired. Stop when you're done. And just the way we feel a lot of times makes a difference in whether we want to persevere and carry on, or if we just feel like giving up. Friends, we got to take care of ourselves. We all get tired, but we aren't done until we are done. So when you feel like giving up because it seems like your righteous efforts are to no avail, remember Elijah. Remember Elijah. And so, as I said just a little bit ago, that when we feel like giving up, this is something common to all man. And I'm sure Job felt that way. He didn't. But I'm sure he felt that way. And Elijah, we know that Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament, he felt that way. 1 Kings 19:1. "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life, and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die. Elijah, the great feats that he had done, yet he ran away to hide and rest in the shade and just wanted to die. In 1 Kings 18, verse 39, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. They said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. So in this battle between the prophets of Baal and Elijah, Elijah was victorious. All of those prophets of Baal, they were seized and killed. Yet, when Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he had executed the prophets, she sent messengers, and then he knows that his life is in danger. So in his great discouragement and distress, he expressed how he felt no better than his fathers, and that he was the only man left in Israel. In 19:10, he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Elijah felt like he was all alone, and sometimes we might feel that way. Elijah had done much good, and it was not in vain. 7,000 in Israel had not bowed the knee in allegiance to Baal. And when we're focusing just on ourselves, we aren't seeing all of those others out there. Furthermore, God had important work for Elijah to do. Remember, our work isn't done until it's done. We don't sit down and give up. In 1 Kings 19:15, "Then the Lord said to him, 'Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Friends, there are others out there serving God. And we need to take heart in that. And in spite of disheartening setbacks, we must remember that we have work to do. No matter how far we feel like we've come or what's ahead of us, we can't give up. We can't quit. We have work to do. We don't know what the next thing is God is going to have for us. I don't know what the next thing is God is going to have for me. 1 Corinthians 15:58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." And I've said it, I don't like to exaggerate, but if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. You can work for companies out in the world, and they'll tell you you're the greatest. They can't get along without it, without you. Until they get along without you, and then you don't even exist. And all that work you did, all that progress you made for the company, it means nothing. But the smallest thing you do for the Lord is going to be rewarded. So what kind of master do you want to work for? And you know that anything that Jesus promises us, He is going to deliver on. But when you feel like giving up because you're weary and discouraged in your soul, remember Jesus. Although we can receive much strength and inspiration from Job and Elijah, there's no better example than Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You think that Jesus got discouraged? Absolutely, because he lived in the flesh. He suffered the same things that we do. He suffered being rejected, being humiliated, people wanting to kill him. I shouldn't say he suffered the same things that we do, because what he suffered was so much more than what we will ever experience. And we were watching some movie the other night, and one of the things, and I try when I can to use the Bible photo slides just to help us understand some of those places over there. And the movie we were watching the other night was about the life of Christ, which a lot of it was filmed in Palestine. And you just, it puts you there in the middle of it. And one of the things that really got me was the Roman presence in the city, and all the Roman soldiers that were everywhere, because Rome would have wanted to keep things in control in Jerusalem, and how the Romans treated anybody that wasn't a Roman. They didn't care what you believed. If you weren't a Roman, you were nothing. And we go through nothing like that. But the Hebrew writer says, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with the endurance that is set before us. Discouragement is one of those weights. There are distractions that are out there that weigh us down. And above this great cloud of witnesses, as we're running this race, and he's giving the example like of people running the race on a track and people in a coliseum looking down, watching us run that race. And what is above that group in the coliseum? Above that great cloud of witnesses is the King himself. Jesus is looking down on us running this race. And you think again back to the time of the Roman Empire, and you compare the emperor that would have been setting up there watching something take place, and the emperor, this evil emperor, would say, let that person live or kill that person. We don't have someone like that watching us. We have the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus sees, he knows, he understands. not only does he see and know, he eternally intercedes for us. He's going to the Father. Father, help this soul. Help them through this. And what a contrast it is between Christ, who's looking down on us, and a Roman emperor that would be looking down on a stadium full of people and someone competing in the games. Friend, Jesus is on our side. He died for us. He beholds our trials. He's sympathetic to our condition. It's His desire for our success. He suffered and was tempted in every way as we are, but He prevailed and passed through such things to joy unspeakable, full of glory. We need to look, when we feel like giving up, we need to look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus means focusing all of our spiritual vision upon the Lord, our strength in beholding the Savior. And just like Peter, what did he do when he was walking on the Sea of Galilee and he was kept his eyes on Christ? He was walking on the water. He took his eyes off of Christ. What did he do? He began to sink. And friends, I guarantee you, when we take our eyes off of Christ, we will sink. That's why we need to make every effort and take every opportunity to spend time in the Word, to spend times exhorting and encouraging one another, building each other up. Hebrews mentions Him as the author and perfecter of our faith, the captain and perfecter, the author, the one that has created or written our story, the perfecter, one that completes our story, the captain. He navigates the ship, us, through the sea of life. Christ did not merely preach faith as an obligation for others, but was Himself a perfect demonstration of the life of faith while living in the flesh. Jesus didn't use His supernatural powers for His own benefit. He suffered just like you did, just like I do. Jesus was touched by the pain of life. Jesus wept. He would see the crowds and have compassion on them. He was hungry when He was in the wilderness 40 days. He was hungry, just like you and I get hungry. And He endured all of that. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. He didn't just go through those physical things for us. He went through the cross for us. So we contrast that shame and joy. And it's hard for us to imagine what that would have been like back when Christ was crucified. Paul tried to paint the picture to people in reminding the Galatians that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree." Friends, we need to look to Jesus every day. When we feel discouraged, we need to look to Jesus even more. Consider all that He endured for us. When we feel like giving up, we need to remember Job and Elijah, and especially Jesus. For a few minutes now, I'd like for us just to consider some verses to help us when we might be discouraged. Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you meant it evil against me." This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. "You meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive." The last time he had spent time with his brothers, they wanted to kill him. They sold him and he was taken down to Egypt. And he said, you meant it as evil against me, but God meant it for good. You see, we don't know what we might be in right now, what it's going to turn out down the road. We might think it's for evil. Why is this happening to me? Whatever it is, God means it and will use it for good. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You read the first chapter or two of Joshua, and I have to go back and look, but he mentions courage or be courageous like 6 or 8 times or more. Be strong and of good courage. You hear people say you need to put your big boy pants on. We need to put our courage pants on when we get up in the morning. We need to be strong. We know we can face what's out there for us in the day. 2 Chronicles 15:7. But you be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And I think about people in the workplace and comparing it to working in the vineyard, and people is, oh, I'm tired today. I don't feel good. I did this over the weekend and I'm just sore. And, oh, can I go home early? And all the excuses people would give for trying to get out of work. Be strong. Do not let your hands be weak. Your work shall be rewarded. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do we believe that? I make a list of sermons that I want, that I work on. And I start on this one. I think I'll work on that one. I'll come up with another one. One of the ones I want to preach sometime soon is, do you really believe that he's coming back? Do you really believe it when we read that Jesus is coming back? Because a lot of times we don't live like we believe it. Do we believe that God is with us? Do we believe that he'll strengthen us, he'll help us, he'll uphold us with his righteous hand? Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, who is Jeremiah? Remember, he was the weeping prophet. He was the weeping prophet that wrote about and prophesied about Jerusalem. And they lowered him down into that miry pit. They let him down in there. And how many righteous people did he find in Jerusalem? He couldn't even find one. He couldn't even find one. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Same echoed in Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. We look at small things and say, we can't do that. That's not going to work. We've tried that before. It's never going to work. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Friends, that's a great verse to give us strength and comfort. We live in this world of dark, evil, wickedness. But we have the light. We have the light. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the who are the called according to His purpose. Again, it may not be the good that we are expecting. It may be that eternal good. But shouldn't we be happy to settle for that eternal good? You know, this life goes so fast. Many of the things and I thought and worried about when I was in my 20s, I don't even remember what they are because I had new things to think and worry about in my 30s and in my 40s and right on down. And then we got to catch ourselves, or we'll spend our whole life thinking and worrying about things and then our life is over. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they who do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Friends, we are running this race, and our reward will be an imperishable crown. And there's not going to be one winner. We can all be winners unless we defeat ourselves. Do not let us grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Galatians 6:9. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Again, believe, and to believe we must act. Can we do it when we feel like giving up? I did this sermon recently on more than conquerors. Can we be more than conquerors? Can we do it? Yes, we can. We can. And friends, when we think about giving up, what if Christ gave up on me? What if He thought, I just can't do this? I can't do it. When you feel like giving up, don't. It'll be worth it all in the end. And we must remember Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. Friends, we've got to keep the end in mind. We keep the end in mind, and no matter what we are going through here, will get us down. It will not stop us. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make confession, needs to respond to the gospel, if there's anyone that has a need, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.